We will now convene the July 10, 2018 City of Daytona Beach Special Magistrate Proceedings. At the outset, I review and approve the minutes of June 12, 2018. Do we have any announcements before we proceed with this morning's agenda?
Yes, sir, we do. Case number 6, 06-1865 at 2066 South Halifax Drive is in compliance 7-9-2018. Case number 9, 05-1847 at 606 Tanglewood Street is in compliance 7-9-18. Case number 14, 07-1873 is in compliance 7-9-18. Case number 16, 07-1875 at 915 School Street is in compliance 7-6-18. Case number 18, 07-1877 is in compliance 7-6-18. And that's it.
All right, well, those representatives for the City of Daytona Beach will be testifying this morning to proceed with the step forward this morning.
Raise your hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony that you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
All right, we're going to take one case out of turn, case number 15.
Good morning,
Ronald
sir.
Jack Travis Utter.
Yes, good morning, Special Magistrate. Courtney Kilborn on behalf of Mr. Utter.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry, your name again?
Courtney Kilborn.
Courtney Kilborn. You counsel for Mr. Utter?
Yes, sir.
All right. Are we in agreement this property was in violation as stated in the notice of violation?
We are not in agreement, Your Honor.
Not in agreement. Okay. All right. Are we going to have to, if for some reason I thought this was going to be an expedited matter, if we're going to have a full-blown hearing on this, then I'll go back to the rest of our agenda. What can you tell me about case number 15?
Anthony Jackson, attorney for the City of Daytona Beach. Mr. Vakelja, this is before you for imposition of a fine. And I believe, yeah, imposition of a fine. It's been previously determined that there is a that the respondent was in non-compliance for an off-site sign back previously, and May, I believe it was. May of this year, and that was with a trailer with a well, this was shown there on in the video, was parked in a location that was not made it a prohibited sign. Was parked in a location where there was the business was not operating. The allegation of the city is that it's still remains parked. There were four photos taken by the inspector where the vehicle remained parked in a location where there is no active business. I have had some communication with council who has indicated that they're getting business license. They intend to have a business there, but at this point, or at the point when those photos were taken, there was not a business tax received, there was not an active business, and it was prohibited sign. And to our knowledge, it remains prohibited sign. So that's what we'd be presenting through my inspector, Juan Davis.
Response?
Yes. As the date of the last hearing, I had advised that there was a remodel in process. The remodel was completed from the date of the so-called violations, Your Honor, and inside is a billing center, calling center, and I've been advised that a few patients have been seen. It is the business Halifax Injury Physicians. The only thing on the trailer is the phone number and the name, which is the same as the sign that's in process of being permitted and built. I do have pictures, Your Honor, of both the proposed sign, of the inside of the building, so there is no violation as it's not sending anybody off-site. It's not sending anybody to a call center at a different location. Any phone numbers that come in actually go to that location. And let me see if there's something else. Yes. So if you, I have pictures, Your Honor, if you'd like to see those of the inside.
Hang on a second. So what does that information do for you, Mr. City Attorney?
Well, what it does is it admits that it's operating a business without a business tax receipt, if there is a business operating, which still would make the signage prohibited.
So until it's the absence of the business tax receipt?
Yeah, the absence of an acknowledged business.
We need to establish that it's a valid business.
Well, I'd have
to
look to the
establish that what would appear to be a portable sign is something akin to a temporary sign.
Well, I guess that would be correct. That's what's being represented, and they'd have to establish that at this point. That's not the circumstance, because there's no business tax receipt at present.
Notwithstanding what's going on inside.
According to the inspector, and again,
he's
available.
Yes, sir. There is a business. There's a few locations statewide. This is just an additional location. There is
one. You just told me this one only funnels calls to that location.
Yes, that phone number goes to that location. Yes, but with the name, the Halifax Injury Physicians is already standing in a business. It's a current business. He's got.
Do you have a business tax receipt?
I'm not 100% because I don't have a copy, but I'm pretty sure that yes, it would have a
don't
business
we need
receipt.
Need a business tax receipt to legitimate any signage?
Yes, we do for that location. Yes, sir.
Okay, so you don't know why you're not sure we have one.
I'm not positive, but I know that we're not here on the business tax receipt violation or permit violation. We are here on the off-site.
The business tax receipt's kind of a prerequisite that you get to the off-site sign advertisement.
Your Honor, if you could give me some time to confirm, I'm sure my client could send me a copy. But at this
have
time,
have a seat. You got about an hour or two.
Okay, excellent. No problem.
Go ahead. Well, before let's just expedite this. Do we know if they have a business tax receipt?
They don't have a business tax receipt. Gwanda Davis, Code Enforcement. There is not a current business tax for that location at 437 North Clyde Morris. If they have one for the Florida Hospital, it's for another address. Okay. And you cannot transfer between the two. So until there's a business tax receipt, it's considered a temporary sign that's not permitted.
Right.
And I waited a month after we were here in May before I started checking the site. So they had 30 days to remove the trailer before I start going by and taking pictures.
Right. And what is the fine that you're proposing?
$500 per picture, and I have 4 days.
Okay. And so you're thinking you can locate a business tax receipt notwithstanding what you just heard?
I believe that I can call my client and find out as soon as possible if one does exist for location, yes.
Have a seat.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Case number one, Darvish Plaza Incorporated. This matter is here for the imposition of a fine. Not seeing a respondent, what say the city?
Because this is before you for imposition of a fine, the inspector is John Stinson. Mr. Stinson reports that the footing inspection portion of the permit was passed on June 27th of 2018. He wants them into the next cutoff so that they can get everything final. So that they get everything final. And if you have any further questions, Mr. Stinson's here to testify to the factual information.
I don't see a listing of the cutoff dates unless I misplaced it. Thank you very much. So the city wants to amend to our next cutoff?
Yes.
Which appears to be August 8th. Does that sound about right?
Yes, sir.
All right. Based on the information provided by the city, I will amend our current amended order of noncompliance to allow the respondent to come into compliance by August 8, 2018, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number two, Jong Soo Yoon and Lee O.K.
State your name and address, please. 309 North Atlantic Avenue. Yoon.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony that you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Do we have the permits we require? And let me ask the city first. Can you update me as far as where we stand with this matter?
Yes, Mr. Bukelja. The inspector is John Stinson. I'll ask Mr. Stinson to give you that update. I will tell you that progress has been made. They have a commencement date of 8-6. So, yes, they do have the permits in the city to get started. And I'll attend to Mr. Stinson. That's the whole story.
Well, why don't you give me an estimated, I assume we didn't have a compliance date, so how long do we think it should take to come into compliance given the current status of the effort?
I believe the September cutoff should be enough time since the start date is only August 6th.
Back up and say that again?
Their projected start date for the job is on August 6th, so they should be in compliance by the cutoff of September.
September 5, okay.
Yes.
All right. Yes, sir. The city seems to think, based on the progress you've made to date, you ought to be able to have this job done by September 5.
Okay.
Does it sound as though you can do that?
Yes.
You sure?
Yes.
Okay.
So weather permitting, if like...
I understand the weather.
Yes.
Very good. All right. Then, based on the progress report that's been provided, as per my request at the last meeting, the respondent will not come into compliance by September 5, 2018, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. All right, good luck to you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Case number three, Catherine M. Smaha as trustee of Oleander Heirs Trust. Not seeing a respondent, what say the city?
Mr. Calder, the inspector, John Stinson. Mr. Stinson reports that a permit was issued on June 7th. He's asking to amend to next cutoff. I'm sorry, I have a question for Mr. Stinson here. And I apologize, Ms. Vickelge, we had a large gap from our pre-meet to the meeting date because of the holiday. What the inspector is informing me is that he doesn't believe that they can have this completed by next cutoff. So he'd like it to be amend to the September cutoff date and ask for a progress report for next month.
Very good. Okay, noting the absence of the respondent based upon the city's presentation. At the outset, I will order this matter be returned to our August 14 agenda for a progress report and further order that the respondent come into compliance by September 5, 2018, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number four, End Poverty Now Incorporated. Anyone here for the respondent? Not seeing a respondent, what say the city?
Ms. McKelton, the inspector in this case is Michael Fitzgerald. Mr. Fitzgerald reports that at least at the last time that we spoke that there was no contact with the respondent, that he's asking for a $250 a day fine to a maximum of $20,000. And as I look to Mr. Fitzgerald, I don't see any updates, so that's what we that's our position for the day, that we request $250 a day fine to a maximum of $20,000. I tend to Mr. Fitzgerald if you have any factual questions. Nothing new. Just the pictures do represent some work that they've been doing. Yes, they were doing yesterday. Not doing any communication with the inspector, but by his own inspector, his own volition.
Abandoned building, vacant, protective treatment, foundation, walls, windows, skylight, door frames, glazing, openable windows, and insect screens. How much work have these people done?
They've done about 5%.
5%. Since January?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to fine the respondent the sum of $250 per day commencing July 6, 2018, and continuing to accrue each day thereafter until the amount of the fine has reached the sum of $20,000 or the property has been brought into compliance, whichever should occur first. Case number 5 is in compliance. Case number 6 is in compliance. Case number 7, Margaret Ellen Eberwine.
Good morning.
State your name and address.
Somebody's papers are here.
That's it.
Just forget it?
Yes.
Okay.
State your name.
Margaret Eberwine, 348 Jackson Avenue, Daytona Beach, Florida.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony that you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
All right, this matter is here for the imposition of a fine, so let's hear from the city.
Mr. Vakelja, the inspector in this case is Juan Davis. Mr. Davis reports that the outside storage has been removed. The roof issues remain, and permits have not been applied for. However, she's asking that we amend for a progress report for 60 days. And I know there's more information, and I would ask Ms. Davis to provide that additional information on why we're asking to amend.
For a progress report.
Yes. I've been in contact with the property owner several times, verbally and personally, and she's done a wonderful job with the outside storage on both sides of the property. So the only thing remaining is a roof, and it's my understanding she's soliciting some help from the VA and FEMA to have the roof, so it's going to take some time for that process to get approved.
Okay.
Right?
You may not need any of that.
So as I understand, the relief the city's looking for at this point in time is a progress report in 60 days.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right, Ms. Eberwine, the city appears to be pretty well satisfied with your efforts to date and has taken into consideration your various impediments to getting this thing done, and are proposing that you be back here in 60 days for a progress report to let us know where you stand on getting the remaining items rectified. What say you to that?
It sounds fair.
Sounds like a plan.
Thank you.
All right, then I will go ahead and continue this matter to our September 11, 2018 meeting for a progress report at that time. All right, good luck to you. And
thank you very much.
All right, have a good day. Case number 8, Sheila A. Minnick.
Good And if after this case, if we can recall Ms. Kilbourne, I was going to ask you to do that, but we do have someone here. We do have the answer on that prior case with Ms. Kilbourne.
All right.
State your name and address, please.
My name is Sheila A. Watson. I live at 132 Harpers Ferry Drive, Daytona Beach, Florida. My former name was Sheila A. Minnick.
All right.
Are you going to testify?
Yes, ma'am.
Raise your right hand, please. Your name?
Avinash Ramatar. I'm the owner of Dillon Property Management.
Okay. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony that you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Well, this matter is here for the imposition of a fine, so let's hear from the city first.
Oh, excuse me.
Mr. McKelvey, the inspector is Jerome McCoy. Mr. McCoy reports that he's received a copy of a quick claim deed that has been recorded indicating that there is a new owner. The new owner is the gentleman present. I would ask that we amend the information to add this new owner and to allow to amend to the next cutoff for the property to be brought into compliance. Next cutoff? Okay.
Okay. What's the status of the effort to rectify the violations?
Good morning, sir. Jerome McCoy, code inspector for the city. There has been little done to the property itself. However, the sale did go through, and this is the quit claim deed that's recorded. I've spoken to the new owner, and they assured me that they're going to move on it right away. However, from what I've seen as to this point, I can't see anything because I haven't been inside the property. And on the outside, it's basically the same.
Who's the new owner? What's the title, name, corporation?
Dillon Property Management, LLC.
So the quick claim deed says Dillon, D-I-L-L-O-N, Property Management, LLC. With Avinash Ramatar acting as principal. I'm sure I didn't say that right.
Okay. All right. What say the respondent? Respondents.
Sir, there is a tenant occupying the property, and we have some elevation specialists coming out this week. There is a sagging in the floor with some dry rot underneath the foundation. We have LRE Ground Services, Inc. looking at it. We have foundation specialists of Florida coming out to look at it. And we also have a company called Ramjack that's going to come out and look at it. We believe that that needs to be corrected first before we can do any roofing onto the property. We have a mold specialist coming out today to actually take some air samples to make sure there's no mold in the property because there are some children in the property. We're working with the tenants to relocate by the end of the month so we can get the work done. And we have quotes from several contractors and all the other stuff Mr. Jerome brought up on the actual violations to correct it. So it is it's a little bit of a conundrum just logistically to get everything done.
Is this relationship with the tenant cordial?
No.
No,
they haven't. They've been there for quite some time. They haven't paid any rent. We're just working on them to try to relocate them right
now. So we're removing the tenant voluntarily with the tenant's assistance, or we're removing the tenant by way of the
voluntarily. We offered them to come back in and stay after we're done rehabbing the property. We're just trying to find a place for them to leave and give us at least 30 days to get the property up to code. We're in it as investors long-term, so we need the property in compliance and rentable as soon as possible.
What I'm trying to factor in is how much time do we need to take into consideration as far as getting rid of the tenant is concerned.
As a commitment from them, they have a brother's house they can stay for a couple of days at a time and then come back. So we can get the foundation done, hopefully in a couple of days after I get my quotes, And then the roof shouldn't take more than 2 days to do. The only thing is weather permitting and permitting. We're not familiar with the permitting system for City of Daytona Beach. We don't know how long that's going to take. So that's kind of what we're still in planning phase. We have 4 quotes from general contractors right now. And we're still getting some more quotes this week to firm up our plan of attack.
Okay, and based upon what Mr. McCoy is hearing, I can only assume his desire to inspect the interior of that home is even greater than it was before, since we're now hearing of sagging floors and what have you.
I will point out, just for clarification, he did have an initial inspection with the, I don't know if it's the current tenant, but the initial complaint, and that's where these photos came from, but he hasn't been able to go in since then, so he doesn't know what's been done.
All right, so our inspector needs to get in and inspect the interior.
Yes.
And the property is occupied right now?
Yes.
And you probably are in no position right now at all to give me a reasonable estimate as to a compliance date.
Our timeline is 60 days. We want to be very aggressive.
You willing to commit to that? All right, let's do this. I'm going to bring you all back for a progress report on our August 14, 2018 meeting, and in the interim, our inspector will be contacting you in order to be able to conduct an inspection of the interior. So by August 18th or August 14th, by all means, try to get the whole job done if you can. But my point is, as of August 14, 2018, we're going to come back. The city will know more about the interior. You'll know more about your plans and the status with your tenant. And hopefully at that point in time, we can plug in a compliance date we can all have a little bit of confidence in and get the job done.
That's perfect. Thank you.
And in the interim, I am also ordering that, and am I understanding that you're consenting to be substituted for Sheila A. Minnick as the respondent in this matter?
Yes, sir.
All right, then I'm also substituting. Am I substituting or just adding?
Typically, we would just add because of the status of the case.
And I'm also going to add by stipulation the Dillon Properties Management, LLC, as an additional respondent in this matter. Does that cover everything?
Yes, sir.
All right. Good luck, folks.
Thank you very much.
Am I still a respondent?
Yes, ma'am.
Since I no longer own the property?
Yes, ma'am, you are.
Okay.
So keep your nose in it and make sure it gets done.
I will.
It sounds like this gentleman's got things under control.
He
but
does.
Yes, ma'am,
he
you
does.
Are still a respondent until it's all done.
Okay.
Good luck to you.
Thank you so much.
Okay. I'm being told it wasn't clear whether you said you were continuing or amending to the next meeting.
Right. Order a progress report. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm continuing the imposition of the fine. I'm continuing the imposition of the fine and ordering a progress report on August 14th. We good?
Yes, sir.
Case number 9, David Trimble, is already in compliance. Case number 10, Marie.
If we can go ahead and recall.
I'm sorry. Yes.
The other case, number 15.
Oh, no. I'm still waiting.
Oh, you're not? Okay. There was some thought.
Right. Case number 10.
Oh, well.
Same information she was going to ask for. We have it.
You agree with her or disagree with her?
Just.
Okay, well, then she has an opportunity. I'm sorry. Slight misunderstanding. Staff is ready. They thought she was ready.
All right, and I guess what you're getting ready to tell me is we're now going straight to the source so we know definitively what the answer to this question is?
That is correct. Jerome McCoy went down to verify with Permit and Licensing Department. There is not a license application for 437 North Clyde Morris, nor is there a sign application.
All right. Okay. Come on back up, if you would.
Response, Mr. Patelja, it would be that if there is currently not one, which I was awaiting a response from them, it could be applied for at this very moment. They could apply online right now. However, I know that we're here on a repeat violation for the off-site advertisement of a trailer. Even though I didn't see it there on 7-2 at my last visit to the client's office, I would say that it's not sending anybody to an off-site area. It is not. The phone number is going there to the call center, to the billing center. There's an office inside with furniture, telephones, staff. At least one staff, Your Honor. So okay.
All right. You were in the midst of completing your presentation about the information you found in the interim that determined there was no business tax receipt.
That's correct. And I can confirm she is correct. The trailer has been removed as of June the 22nd. It has not come back. My pictures are from June the 5th, the 6th, the 7th, and the 12th. So it was between the time of the finding of compliance on May 8th and non-compliance on May 8th and June the 12th is when the trailer was there.
Okay, and in the interim while we've been waiting, you've confirmed there is no business tax receipt.
That's correct.
And is this the first time this respondent's been up for a repeat violation?
On this particular property, yes.
Okay, and the city's looking for $500 times four?
That's correct.
All right, I'm finding the respondent the sum of $500 in total. And again, keep in mind these things are progressive, so the point is, should the respondent be returned in the future, that number will start going up dramatically.
Okay.
All right. So with that, I'm going to fine the respondent the sum of $500. Is there any more that needs to be said than that?
No, sir. Since it is currently in compliance, we have no other issue to bring forth as long as he remains in compliance.
Very good. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Case 10, Maria C. Ware. Anyone here for the respondent? Not seeing a respondent. What say the city?
Mr. Bukowski, this is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector is Mark Jones. Mr. Jones reports that he's had no contact from the owner and that the property remains in non-compliance. He's asking for a fine of $250 per day to be imposed to a maximum of $15,000.
For failure to obtain a business tax receipt?
And the rental license. The rental license would be, his failure to obtain a rental license would be a 162 fine amount. The failure for the business tax receipt would be the $250 administrative cost. But the rental license requires is an additional requirement that's land development code requirement or code of ordinance requirement that would require allow for a running fine until it's obtained.
And what's the amount of the fine you're looking for?
We're looking for a $250 per day fine to $15,000, and I would
plus the $250. Rental license fee.
Yes, sir. Plus the $250 administrative fee.
Okay.
This is rental property. Yes, of course. That's why we're bringing it forward. But I would tend to Mr. Jones for the characteristics of the case as a whole. I think that I look to Mr. Jones.
All right, Mr. Jones, what can you tell me about this property?
I've had no communication with the owner or the property management company. I did talk with the tenant back on May 8th. Gave her my card, asked her to pass it on either to the landlord or the tenant, and have not had any contact.
Is that the property right there?
Yes.
So the fine that's being imposed here is being imposed specifically for their not having obtained a rental license.
Correct.
There's no health safety issues. Doesn't even look as though this is a building that's in need of a repair.
Correct. I have not been inside the building, so I can't state the condition inside, but it is a newer home, yes.
And what's the city's basis for asking for $250 a day for failure to obtain rental license.
If I can have just a moment to speak with the inspector.
Absolutely.
Mr. McKelvey, the only aspect of egregiousness is it was a complaint from the development itself. The inspector...
It was a what now?
From the homeowners association, from the development. The inspectors had no contact
Who's
with them.
Who's the homeowners association?
Jubilee. Yes,
we received notice from the Jubilee... homeowner association that this property was being rented without a rental license. We then investigated it, talked to the tenant, and then sent notices out to the owner.
And has the owner been responsive at all?
No, I have had no contact from the owner or from the property management company.
All right, I'm going to fine the respondent the sum of $100 per day commencing July 6, 2018 for failure to obtain rental license. And that fine is going to continue to accrue until the amount of that fine has reached the sum of $15,000 or the property is brought into compliance. And in addition to that, I'm going to further order that the respondent pay the $250 rental
Business tax receipt.
I'm thankful I don't have a homeowners association. Case number 11, Nanette G. Singler.
Good morning. I'm here for Chobie Abbott's, Mr. Vakalja. This is Mrs. Nanette Singler next to me here. This property at 1015 Cedar Highlands Boulevard. Give you a little background. Ms. Singler's husband passed away a couple of years ago. I'm sorry.
I'm looking to swear her in.
Oh, please.
Is your
I'm so
attorney?
Sorry. Yes.
Okay. Your name is Nanette Singler?
Yes.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony that you're about to provide is the truth, all the truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
You're saying?
Yeah, by way of background here, a couple of years ago, Ms. Singler's husband passed away. And they've owned a number of properties in the area, still do, but Halifax Medical Center, somehow they've assigned all their rights to this property to Halifax Medical Center at some point in time, which I don't know when that was, but over the last 2 years. They still had the ability, Halifax let them derive rents from the property until they passed on. And so here we are today. Ms. Singler is not renting the property at all. The place is vacant. The inside, from what I understand, is in disrepair. The outside is not in some deplorable state, from what I understand. She has no intentions of renting the property. Mr. Ebbets is trying to get with Halifax Medical Center. Somehow they can't find this assignment, but she wants to turn over the property to Halifax because of the medical bills that her husband accrued. So on a go-forward basis, she just wants to give Halifax the property to do what they want, and she'll be out of it. So that's where we're at right now. I don't know how long that's going to take, but hopefully.
All right. What say the city?
And I missed counsel's name. I'm sorry.
Michael Cundit.
Oh, Mr. Cundit. Okay. The inspector report said, right now we're here on a progress report. Our concern is this, if she wants to sign an affidavit saying she's not going to rent it or anything, that's okay. It's just once we're in, now we have this long list of concerns with the property. I guess if the property's vacant and she intends to do those repairs, I guess we can live with that, but would need an affidavit saying that she's not going to rent it or even occupy it with the nature.
Well, as long as she agrees to not rent, use, occupy, and agrees to maintain the exterior so it's not a blight on the neighborhood, does that satisfy everybody's requirements? What say council?
I think she can agree to that, don't you agree?
Yes.
All right, so Ms. Singler is willing to sign your affidavit, it sounds like, and it sounds as though we're prepared to stipulate that we will maintain the exterior until title's out of our hands.
Well, you indicated the maintaining the outside, but also making sure it's secure so that we don't have
I understand.
Vacancy.
Yeah. Can I ask a question about that? Does that mean boarding the windows, or how do you want me to make it?
No, it just means making sure everything locks the way it's supposed to.
Okay.
And if a window's broken, replace it.
Okay.
If a door is jimmied open, fix it.
I will.
It's all that's required.
Okay.
All right. We all on the same page here?
Yes.
All right. So I'm going to go ahead and, based upon the stipulation of Ms. Singler, it sounds as though she's prepared to sign the city's affidavit that the property won't be rented, occupied, or utilized, and further stipulating to agree to maintain the exterior and keep it secured to city standards, which means keep it locked up.
Okay.
It was being suggested as well that perhaps obtain a trespass arrest, make it a trespass arrest site, again, to aid in preventing any type of vacancy.
Okay, I got a question about that. Do we have to put that inside the window or just on the property?
I have to look to my office who handles that.
Okay.
All right, so have we just disposed of this matter?
The answer is yes.
All right, then I guess what I'm saying is once we have that affidavit in place and we then have this stipulation, then I presume with that we would dismiss this citation for failure to obtain rental license.
Yes.
Very good. All right. Thank you, Counselor.
Thanks.
Good luck to you, ma'am.
Thank you.
You want to get with my office?
Case number 12, Joseph F. and Dolores Pouncey.
Joseph F. Pouncey.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
All right, this matter is here for the imposition of a fine, so let's hear from the city.
Mr. Kelger, the inspector in this case is Mark Jones. Mr. Jones, well, the prior meeting you had continued the imposition of a fine, giving Mr. Pounce the opportunity to either remove the shed or pursue a variance or some other remedy. Since that time, the inspector had no contact from Mr. Pouncey, but did see that the shed was still there. The inspector reports that that Mr. Pouncey has made application for a smaller shed or something to that effect, but he's done nothing about this current situation. While we understand the challenges that Mr. Pouncey is facing, he had that installed without permits, and without permits is the whole reason why he's in this situation, and so we need that remedy with removal. The inspector's requesting a $100 day fine to a maximum of $10,000 until this shed is removed.
All right. Well, did he make application to the Board of Adjustment?
No, he did not. Not to our knowledge.
Okay. That doesn't sound good for Mr. Pouncey.
I don't know what they're talking about. The application, I've been confirmed with planning. You have two people in planning, and one of them told me what I needed, and I went and got this to give to her, and she told me this wouldn't go. The other planner, the one that I spoke to, told me I could use this. They was going to come and remove that and build me a shed on the property. So I had to go back and get another one, and they told me it'll take probably about 7 days. It could take up to 7 days for that one to be approved. Now, it looked like that one going to be approved according to the second planner. The planner's giving me bad information. They one telling me one thing and one telling me another. But the lady I spoke to last week told me she has the final say-so. This was the black planner. Now, evidently, you got a white planner. There's two of them in there. So what they told me to do is come back and ask for some more time to get this correct. Now, I understand that I can't keep the trailer there. She told me the reason being, people's used one that side to rent, and people have been staying in them. And so for that reason, I would have to move it and get a shorter chair, a 10 by 20, she said that I could have. Now, that's what the last planner told me. So that's what's being done now, and the people's going to bring the 10 by 20 there. Now, if you notice, the shed on there is conformed with my house color, and they would have to build that thing, which they told me it'll take approximately 2 weeks and paint it and bring it in where I have the same color. They have sheds that I could have got already, but it's not going to look right with what I have. I'm in the process of doing my whole house. So I told her I'd come before the board and see what I could do. That's all I can do. And as far as the trailer being moved itself, there's nobody around here in Daytona that can move the shed that size. It takes special equipment, and he out of Tampa. And the shed owner told me if he come this week, and if I couldn't get a thing, he'll try to have it moved for me. And it's loaded with stuff, and the reason being, I thought I was going to be able to keep it so I can take the stuff out the other one and put it in there. So that's where I'm at. I was going by the information was given to me. And this is the paperwork and the other paperwork they have downstairs. It's not that I'm trying to defy what y'all are telling me. I understand that I must do this, but then I'm dealing with other people also who do this kind of work and move it. Anybody can move that.
Okay. What they're telling me. First off, last time you were here, you suggested that you were going to go before the Board of Adjustments to try to see what relief they would give you for that shed.
And I did.
You did?
I did.
You made application to the Board of Adjustment?
With the planners. I don't know what the date of adjustment. That's the planners. They're the one.
I don't know who you're talking about.
The planners.
What I'm not hearing from the other side is that anybody made an application to the Board of Adjustment to give you any relief as far as this encroachment is concerned. Has anyone made application to the Board of Adjustments?
No, sir. Okay. Not to our knowledge.
And so now you're talking to planners about what, bringing in a smaller shed?
That's what they told me I could have. And the last information I got was I had to speak with the planners, that they the ones give the variance, and they one told me that they do give it. So I don't know the Board of Adjustment.
Okay, so now you're thinking about bringing a smaller shed in that may not have... that may not violate the requirements that this one does. Is that what I'm hearing?
That's what they told me.
So you're going to take the existing shed off the property. You're bringing another shed onto the property, and these planners you're talking to are telling you that should be legal, and that should solve your problems. Is that what you're telling me?
They the one told me that, yes, they the one told me that they have the final say-so from the inspectors downstairs. Now, I don't know how the city works, but okay. In other words, I give it to them, and it has to go through them, so I was getting so messed up down there, so I went straight to the planners. So the planners told me that that's what I could have, and I got these papers, and they told me that ask you for a little bit more time. Now, the shed's going to look the same way. It's just going to be smaller. It's going to be the same color.
Okay. The only interest,
it's going to be shorter.
The only interest I have in any of this is Mr. Pouncey is bouncing around the notion of coming into compliance with a smaller shed. Is that something that's even feasible?
I'd ask for the inspector to speak to that.
The only reason I ask is because if someone's going to say, well, yeah, he could possibly come into compliance if he reduced the size of the shed, then I guess I'd have to then talk about time required in order to do that. But if that's not going to cure the problem at all, then I don't need to have that conversation.
Well, the lady I spoke to, she's in this building, and she's right across in that office over there.
She ain't in this room. I don't care about her.
Well, I didn't know that, sir. I mean,
all right, just a second.
Yes, our concern was getting rid of the large shed by this last cutoff and also cleaning up the outside storage in the front yard, which as of yesterday neither had happened. I did get a call from Mr. Pouncey yesterday, midday, where he said he had applied for a permit for a smaller shed. I did go down and talk to Ms. Bennett, who's the manager in the permit department. She stated that, yes, they had got the application in yesterday, but they had not reviewed it, had no idea whether it would be acceptable per zoning. They had no idea. It would have to go through the process.
What is the outside storage you're talking about that hasn't been removed?
That, if you look at, back up one slide. What you have there is all the lawn furniture, a refrigerator with a little bit of a tarp on top of it, some gas cans off to the left, some propane tanks. And if you go to the next slide, what you have is a lot of wood piled up outside on the other side of the fence. Again, more lawn furniture. And in the back, three or four grills off to the side. It's hard to see in that picture. But that was the outside storage we had addressed previously that Mr. Pouncey had stated he was planning on putting into the shed.
All right, if Mr. Pouncey were to get himself a shed that actually fit the property, how much time would that take to switch them out?
I have no idea because I don't know what the process will be with the permitting. And then as he stated, he would then have to get it built. So I do not know.
Okay. These are the people who built in the weather tank. And they already have the paperwork. The people were concerned that the city have all of that in their hands, all three package of the stuff that they take to do it. And
well, you know, the one thing I'm hearing is that we're all in agreement that the big shed's leaving.
It's leaving. It's got to go.
When's it going to be gone?
You told me that.
When is it going to be gone? I mean, if you want to move a new shed in, give it your best shot. But we're all in agreement that the old shed's got to go.
It's got to go.
When's it leaving? Give me your best shot, because it's going to be $100 to $150 a day for every day you're wrong.
3 to 4 weeks. If it don't be built, I will get somebody to move it and put it somewhere. I got a lot across the street. I can put it there temporarily. I don't know about the storage part on that thing, but how long you'll have to move it, because okay. I was trying to work with
good
the
enough.
People who were working with me.
All right.
To get this thing, they was going to sell it and get me another one and bring the old one in. That was the plan, and they told me that I could have this 10 by 20. Now, there again, that was...
What's the fine cap on a occupied residence, $10,000?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'm going to order the respondent be in compliance by August 8, 2018. Failing that, a fine in the amount of $150 per day will go into effect and will continue to accrue each day thereafter until the amount of that fine has reached the sum of $10,000 or the property is brought into compliance. And let me emphasize, we've spent a lot of time talking about the shed. That includes all that outside storage that you just heard this inspector mention as well. All right, so the good news is you probably got about another 30 days to figure this out. We're all in agreement the big shed needs to go, so the big shed needs to go. And right. The outside storage needs to be taken care of. If you can then find a substitute shed that's going to meet the city's requirements, I'm happy for you. I'm glad. But these things are going to have to be done. So you've got until August 8th to get them done. If they're not done by then, you're not going to be coming back here to be fined.
I won't.
It'll go into effect automatically, so please bring it into compliance.
I will.
And good luck to you on your new shed.
And Mr. LeCouch, if I can state, moving it to your lot across the street would be a violation, and that's something you probably don't want to do. We'll be...
If I were you, I would check with the city, because I'd hate for you to jump out of the frying pan right into the fire if we find out the shed's been moved someplace where it can't be.
Okay.
Good luck to you. Okay. Let's go ahead and take about a 5-minute break, and then we'll resume with all of our new cases. We good to go?
Yes, sir.
All right. We will now reconvene with the new cases. Case number 13, Gordon L. Hilton. Is anyone here for the respondent?
Gordon Hilton, 411 Jessamine Boulevard, Daytona.
Raise your right hand. You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony that you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Mr. Hilton, do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Excuse me?
Do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
I believe so, yes.
All right, then I find the respondent in noncompliance. Give me just a moment. Let's hear what the city has to say about what you have to do to come into compliance and how long they think it should take. Then I'll hear from you.
Mr. McKelty, the inspector is Mark Jones. I'm going to ask Mark Jones to come and advise you as to what the problem is and how long it should take.
Yes, we had a rental inspection back on January 17th of this year. And the property failed the inspection, and one of the items was having bars on the bedroom windows, so it was not a method of egress. We went back and re-inspected it on March 1st. Everything passed at the inspection except the bars were still on the windows. So a violation notice was generated and was signed for on March 25th. As of yesterday, the bars are still on the windows.
Right. How about the failure to obtain rental license?
Well, you can't get the rental license because this is a violation of the inspection that is required for the rental license. He has applied for it and everything, and we've gone through two inspections.
All right. And how much time should it take for him to come into compliance?
A day. Just requires unbolting. The bars are permanently mounted from the exterior. So I see no reason it couldn't be done by the next cutoff.
Well,
they'll still have to have an inspection. But that was the only item remaining. My concern is it is a life safety issue not being able to exit the bedroom should there be a fire in the main portion of the building.
And this is tenant occupied right now?
Yes, it is.
Okay. All right, Mr. Hilton.
Yes.
City says you need to take those bars off that bedroom window. Says you ought to be able to. Wouldn't take you any time at all. What say you to that?
These bars have been on that building for 45 or 50 years. 25 years that I know of since I've owned the property. They are not bars like you have in jail. They are nice bars. They have some curves and designs. They were put on there for two purposes. I think one, probably the basic purpose, was to protect the windows from windstorms, flying debris, and things. They have done that for the 25 years that I've owned it. They've never had a broken window. The other thing, they're called burglar bars, and that is to protect burglars from going in the windows. Three or four years ago, when the city started to include this property in its new rental program, I got a letter from the city, and it said, to improve the neighborhood, you're now in this program. It's going to cost you a bunch of others money. For all these years, I got these licenses or permits from the city for $30. Now it's a couple hundred dollars. When this first went into this program, first inspector came from Orlando. I think he was hired new and new to the job, and he wrote up. He says, you got to have a release thing on these bars so that they can be opened from the outside or the inside. And which didn't make much sense to me for burglar bars. And the other thing was a knob on a deadbolt wasn't the right size for him. At that time, a few days later, there was a community meeting two doors down. I went down. I cornered a city commissioner afterwards and explained to her what was going on. I said, can you look at this and see what you think? And she came up and she looked. She says, yeah, that's pretty stupid. She says, don't worry about it. I'll make a phone call. And I didn't hear anything more about it. So then Mr. Jones came. He said, you haven't paid. And he wrote that up for those bars. As I said, they're in good shape. They've been on there for heavens know how long, almost as long as you've been around. And they've served their purpose. I've never had a burglar go in. I've been burglarized three or four times. They've broken in the door. They've gone through the back sliding glass doors. And I think they should be grandfathered in. You can't have a piece of property there for years, and it's okay, and then all of a sudden you're saying they got to go.
How long have you been renting this property out?
For 25 years.
Okay. Well, I can only assume that the logic behind the removal of the bars is just as you heard from our inspector, for fire safety purposes. I understand the burglary protection, and I'm assuming that if you occupied that house yourself, you probably could keep your bars, because if you chose to keep that hazard there,
yeah,
so be it. But I don't even know that that's the case. But in any event, the fact of the matter is, you're renting out that property, and I guess the only way I can summarize it is to say I guess the life safety code and its concern for fire hazards trumps the concern for burglars coming through the windows. That's all I know how to say. So it is what it is, and unfortunately, you're going to have to remove the bars. If you wanted to go elsewhere to a board of adjustment to see if there's some special equity or circumstances that you might be able to use to convince them to keep them, more power to you. I don't think you're going to find much relief there either, but you're welcome to do it because that's your constitutional right. So the question now is, how much time do you need to remove the bars?
Well, rather than remove the bars, I think I'll go to an appeals of some sort.
You sure you? Okay. I mean, you're welcome to.
You have to pay. But you come out of the bedroom, there's a bathroom, it's about 4 or 5 feet, and you're into the main room. You can go out the front door, you can go out the back door.
All right, well, let's chat about this just a second, just to make sure you're not totally wasting your time and money. If the man wants to look for some sort of relief from this life safety requirement, which I doubt he's going to get, what would his recourse be?
The general answer would be he'd have to go and seek that through the Board of Adjustment.
I mean, I don't want to funnel people to the Board of Adjustments if you're going to tell me it's not, they're not even going to consider it. And when it comes to a life safety issue, I'm perilously close to saying that, but I'm no expert on the Board of Adjustment, so I don't want to say any more than I have already.
Yeah, that would be my expectation, that they wouldn't consider it. I think the big difference, and just for a little bit of more understanding for the respondent, is he mentions a period when we were doing business tax receipts, and he started paying the smaller portion, and then we initiated the rental inspection program. And so prior to the rental inspection program, there wasn't a history of inspecting and seeing the fact that he had burglar bars there all these years. But now that there is a program with the desire for the rental industry in Daytona Beach to ensure that the property is safe and in code, so it's appropriately presented, we're left now with something that's an obvious concern and one that I don't think he's going to be able to overcome, that those burglar bars for a rental unit is not going to be able to remain. If he chooses, I don't have enough information to tell you that he can't go to the Board of Adjustment. That's the only place, if there is any relief, that he would find it.
Okay. All right.
Your Honor, there's hundreds or thousands of rooms up and down the beach that there's no exit through windows. They have to go out the door and down the hall and in the elevators. And I'm sure the Daytona Beach Fire Department is not going to bring a 10 or 15-ton ladder truck out onto the soft sands to get a ladder up to those windows.
Well, that's over
we
my
have
pay
just
grade,
as good
so I don't
egress
know what to tell you there.
Rooms as hundreds of hotels.
All right. Well, your recourse right now is to either remove the bars, or if you want to take it up to the next level, to the Board of Adjustments, that's your right to do so, and I absolutely will respect that. So if that's what you want to do, then I'll continue this matter to our next meeting, subject to you making application to the Board of Adjustment between now and then. So is that your intent?
I believe so, yeah. Or take it out of the rental program if I don't rent it. A while back, I had used a one room for an office, and we'll see what that is.
These are the gentlemen you need to consult with as far as what you can and can't do. All right, I will continue the determination of a compliance date until our August 14, 2018 meeting. And the purpose of that continuance is to allow the respondent an opportunity to explore an application to the Board of Adjustments. And if such an application is made on August 14, I will await the outcome of that hearing. If such an application is not made, then I will go ahead and impose a compliance date. And at that point, considering the fact that I'll have given the respondent an extra 30 days, at that point the respondent can expect a pretty short window, no pun intended here, a pretty short window, if you will, to come into compliance. Okay, we all on the same page?
Board of Appeals, okay.
It's the Board of Adjustment, I think, is what it's titled, and I'm sure Mr. Jackson would be more than willing to point you in the direction of who you talk to out there as far as making that application. All right, good luck to you.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Hannah Ward is planning.
Case number 14 is in compliance. Case number 15 has been resolved. Case number 16 is in compliance. Case number 17, Santa Incorporated. Not seeing a respondent, what say the city?
Myself and the project manager, Charles Bryan, have been out and talked to the tenant at this location. In the redevelopment area, you're not allowed to have more than 25% of window coverage. That's a safety precaution for the police department, and as you can see, he has it completely covered. He has been burglarized two or three times, and he has ordered some custom security screens, and once those arrive, he has agreed to take all of the signage down. So he just needs additional time for the windows to be delivered and installed.
And how much time is that going to take?
I would say the October cutoff, because they're not here yet. Once they arrive, he's still got to get permitting and then have them installed. So just in case delivery gets delayed, October would be
okay,
agreeable.
Well, October is to install windows.
Mm-hmm.
How much time does it take to remove the signage to get it down?
The signage is going to come down in one day.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But we agreed to allow him to leave it there until the windows arrive. And then he's going to remove everything. And the windows come down at nighttime, and during the daytime you'll be able to see completely into the building.
You agreed to allow the signage to remain until the windows
correct.
Are installed.
Correct.
Is that right, Counselor?
That's what my client says, sir.
Okay. All right. Well, based on the request by the city, I will find the and noting the absence of the respondent, I find the respondent in noncompliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by October 3, 2018.
Yes,
sir. Or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Very good. Case number 18 is in compliance. Case number 19, Essie Jackson Grayson. Anyone here for the respondent? What say the city?
Ms. Vakelja, the inspector is Juan Davis. She reports that there's been no contact with the respondent. The violations remain. She's asking for a finding of noncompliance and the next cutoff to come into compliance.
All right. Based upon the presentation by the city attorney, noting the absence of the respondent, I find the respondent in noncompliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by August 8, 2018, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 20, Mary Hawkins Yan.
Mary Hawkins Yan, 1305 Crestview Avenue, Holly Hill, Florida.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm the testimony that you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Do you agree this violation existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes.
All right. I find the respondent in noncompliance. Give me just a moment to speak to these gentlemen to see how much time they think it should take for you to come into compliance. Then I'll talk to you some more.
Ms. Vakelja, the inspector is Jerome McCoy. Mr. McCoy reports, he's asking that they be given until next cutoff to come into compliance. They also have a need for a fence permit, which is not cited, but it's necessary that they obtain that as well, that they will be cited for. And it was actually initially noticed. It's just not appearing on our list of violations at this time. So in any sense, those things can be done by next cutoff. Is the position of staff, and so we ask that they be brought into compliance by next cutoff.
All right, so in addition to what I'm seeing on the notice of violation, we've got fence repairs that need to be made as well?
They have a fence that was installed without permits.
So we need to get a permit for the fence?
Yes.
All right. And the city's position is that can be done by August 8th?
Yes, sir.
All right. Yes, ma'am. City is suggesting you ought to be able to take care of all these things, including a fence permit,
mm-hmm.
by August 8th. What say you to that?
Okay.
You sure?
I'm positive.
All right, very good. All right, then having found the respondent in noncompliance, I'm going to order the respondent to come into compliance by August 8, 2018, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. All right, good luck to you.
Okay, thank you.
Case number 21, Gar Holdings, LLC.
Rob Camperese, 1159 Key Largo Circle, Port Orange, Florida, 32128.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony that you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Okay. I'm sorry, your last name again?
Camperese. Camporese.
All right. And Mr. Gambrese, your affiliation with Gar Holdings LLC?
I'm one of the active managers.
Very good. Do you agree this violation existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
It has, but I have since applied for the license.
Okay. All right, I find the respondent in non-compliance. All right, how much time, Mr. City Attorney, you want to give the respondent to come into compliance? Sounds like he already knows what he needs to do, and he's already started the process.
Yes, sir. He's already applied for the rental license. He has an inspection pending. The city is requesting that he be given until next cutoff to come into compliance.
All right. I assume you don't have any objection to having it done by August 8th?
Should be fine. I had a pretty nasty tenant in there, and I'm hoping that they're going to get out of there this week.
Is your tenant still in there now?
She's in and out of jail. I got busted windows. I can't go on the property. I don't know if they're in there or they're not in there. And,
okay, well, slow down for just a minute here. So you have a tenant in the property now?
She should be gone.
She should be gone.
But there's furniture, the grass.
She should be gone because we're wishful thinking, or we've started eviction proceedings, or she's told us she's going to leave?
She told me she's going to leave, finally.
Okay. Well, I'm glad that you mentioned that, because sometimes tenant problems get thorny, and then people agree to one thing only to find out they haven't come close because they underestimated the situation they found themselves in. So anyway, the minutes will reflect you made mention that you might have a tenant issue that. Nonetheless, we'll go ahead and order the respondent to come into compliance by August 8, 2018, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. And if you start running up on that August 8th date and you're not in compliance and your tenant is the cause of the problem, that inspector of yours is going to be the best friend you'll have if you need additional time. So just keep him informed as to what's going on.
Okay.
All right, good luck to you.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Case number 22, Gar Holdings, LLC. You didn't go far. 619 Markham Street. Okay. All right, once again, Mr. Chambrose, did I say that right?
Chambrese.
Chambrese. Do you agree this violation existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes, sir.
I find the respondent in noncompliance. Mr. City Attorney, how long should it take Gar Holdings, LLC to come into compliance?
Now, Mr. McAlgy, this circumstance is a little different, but we have the same expectation. He's actually had an inspection, a failed inspection. The inspector believes that things that need to be done can be done by the next cutoff, so we're expecting that he can be in compliance by next cutoff.
Okay, Mr. Cambrise, they say you ought to be done with this one by August 8th as well. What say you to that?
Yes, that'll be fine. I have a question. When you're doing these reports, is there any way that I'm not getting a copy? I guess you're leaving it with the tenant, and these tenants don't give a damn. They don't.
Yes, sir. That's our procedure. Whenever we do a rental inspection, that we leave the copy of the rental inspection with the representative of the owner, which is the tenant at that time, or the property manager. However, once it's completed, we try to reach out to the owner. And if we communicate, then we'll get an email from him and we can send him a copy of that. But we do leave a copy of the inspection report with the tenant or the property manager on site.
Well, in this instance, the next inspection, I assume, will be the final inspection.
That's correct.
So there's only going to be one more inspection to be advised of.
Yes, if it passes.
And that inspection won't happen until he calls for it.
That's correct.
All right. All right. Well, just to try to put your mind at ease, it doesn't sound like there's going to be any more paperwork coming to the location. You'll be required to call for a final inspection, as is your obligation anyway. So at that point, you'll know when Mr. McCoy's coming out there, and I'm sure if you ask him for documentation, he'd be happy to provide it.
Okay. Very good.
Okay. Did I go ahead and enter a compliance date?
No.
Order the respondent to come into compliance by August 8, 2018, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. All right, good luck to you.
Thank you, sir.
Case number 23, Mark Olivier Kozlowski. Anyone here for the respondent? Not seeing a respondent, what say the city?
Mr. Kelly, the inspector is Jerome McCoy. Mr. McCoy reports that this property is tenant-occupied. It remains in non-compliance. He's asking that it be brought into compliance by next cutoff. I attend to Mr. McCoy if you have any factual questions.
Okay, I don't understand. Is the notice of violation not mailed to the respondent? Okay, so the notice of violation is mailed to the respondent.
The answer is yes. The notice of violation is mailed to the respondent.
So what paperwork is there that would... Okay, let's assume you have an obnoxious tenant, and I understand paperwork is left on the premises. So what kind of paperwork would that be, typically?
And I'd have to look to the inspector with their process. The inspection form. So it's the checklist or the notification of what violations, whether they pass.
It tells them what has to be done.
Yes, what needs to be done. So that's left at the property is what I'm
So if you got an adversarial tenant who decides to wad it up and throw it in the trash can, that's the owner's problem. I mean, I'm not criticizing anything. I'm just trying to understand it.
Yeah, I didn't want to classify that way, but yeah, that would be the owner to resolve. I would think that the owner has knowledge that it's occurring. I think we do it both through the owner as well as the tenant. So the owner has knowledge that there's an inspection and can make any inquiry they want, and, of course, it would be made available to them.
I mean, I'm not here to change anything. I'm just trying to understand it. Okay. Did I find the respondent in noncompliance?
No.
All right. Based on noting the absence of the respondent, based on the city attorney's presentation, I find the respondent in noncompliance. How much time to come into compliance?
Next cutoff, Your Honor.
And further order the respondent come into compliance by August 8, 2018, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. That concludes our regular agenda. Do we have any miscellaneous business to be brought before the special magistrate?
No, sir. Doesn't appear.
Not being any miscellaneous business, we stand adjourned.